And away we go. It is a Wednesday, September the 2nd, 2020, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned in to On the Air here on WWGH Radio. And every Wednesday, this show is co-hosted by myself and Glenn Coble. You know, Glenn, I've never understood the co-host-host thing. Because is it... No, think about this. No, because this makes no sense to me. Because if you're doing a show alone, right?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. You're the host.
Okay.
People say you're the host, right? Yeah. Am I wrong? No, don't say okay.
No, I
Is
agree.
Is that right or wrong? Yeah. Okay, I agree.
I'm waiting for your next.
Okay, but if you do a show like this, are you co-hosts? You're both a co-host? Or are you a host with a co-host?
I know the facts of life, and I'd say you're the host and I'm a guest.
Well, no, because you do this show by yourself on Thursday.
No, I don't know.
I never understood that, because when you say co-host, do you say this person co-hosts this with me? Does that mean you're a co-host? I don't know the language behind that.
We'll have to get somebody that's good in language. I have no idea what you're talking about. No, I mean, I know what you're talking about. I have no idea what the answer to that question is.
You're such a fence writer. Can't you give us an opinion on this?
I am definitely not a fence writer. But yeah, okay.
You're a fence writer on this issue.
On this issue, I might be.
Yeah, and why can't you give us an honest-to-goodness answer?
Okay, I hate being called a co-host.
No, it's not how you feel. I'm asking you, what is the proper terminology when you have two people?
I would say co-host is right.
But are you both co-hosts?
Yes. You're co-hosts.
Okay.
Co implies two or
so you would
shared.
Never say this person is my...
You'd say...
Oh, maybe this is the right answer.
This person is my co-host.
Oh, let's hope. My goodness gracious. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, gentlemen. You wanted an expert on the English language.
Oh, no, not you. Give it to us.
You're a linguologist and wordsmith. The co-host is right. I mean, it's same thing like on a TV show, co-star, all in the family. I mean, Archie and Edith were pretty equal. And so you say co-starring Stapleton and O'Connor. And in your case, co-hosted, yeah.
But I don't think, like All in the Family, the example you gave, I think most people said that Archie Bunker, Carol O'Connor, was the star.
I mean, well, the most memorable, but, you know... The acting was just so excellent. And then you have...
yeah, it was.
And then you have... See, like Mike and Gloria were supporting, and then you have recurring, like Lionel.
Yeah, but
it would be recurring. In your case, co-host. Now, on a TV show with co-stars, there was a couple of shows Archie wasn't in. I think it was a contract dispute. And it's certainly more common for one host to be missing, like in radio. But on some TV shows, you might see that star, that co-star missing. But to me, you're equals, and, you know, some days Glenn talks more, some days you talk more, and some days one of you guys is out. But it's also the impression that's made. Yeah, I mean, Archie made probably the most impression of any sitcom star in the 70s, if not permanently. Lucy also up there and a few others.
But I guess what makes
the impression... I would say Glenn is more opinionated, Scott, as we've talked about. You never make your opinion. You know, we don't know where you politically lean. We know Glenn is pretty liberal, so he makes that impression, and that's part of it also. So
I'm not afraid to be a liberal, right?
You know, Scott is secretive about that. We never really know. I mean, you can actually check.
Oh, I know.
Party affiliation by looking at voter records, which I've done, of course. But that doesn't even mean anything.
No, it doesn't.
I'm independent, and, you know, I've been known to change my mind. So,
well, you know, but here's the thing.
Impression that's made, and sometimes, yeah, independent makes the most impression. Scott doesn't make an impression for his own opinion. I think it's just how he kind of delineates what everybody else says.
Now, what kind of voting or information can you get on somebody? I think that's interesting.
I have the service I pay for that I can use for background checks. I use it for my property rentals, and I meet somebody, and I'm nosy. And I know I did look you up, and it did show... party affiliation.
Oh, so yeah, I mean, it shows party affiliation.
Right.
But you choose that when you first register to vote.
But you can choose to be independent.
I just pick the affiliation based on which primary. If you're independent, you can't vote in the primary. So if I want to pick one of the R's, I'm an R, a D, I'm a D, because I don't believe in political parties.
Yeah, okay.
I understand if you're running for a national office, you have to have one, because it's kind of like a franchise.
Right.
But Donald Trump's not a Republican. He's independent.
But we never know
where people vote, though.
I mean, the Bushes are more traditional Republicans, as is Pence, but Trump really isn't. But he has to align himself with a party, and he used to be a Democrat, and that sometimes that happens. Where do you align yourself, and whom do you have the most in common with? But yeah, to me, it's the primary thing. Whom do you want to? Which side do you want to pick your favorite candidate from?
Now, Adam, you're still up on the air on this, so have you decided yet? We're 2 months away from the election.
I'll decline to provide my
opinion. Good man.
Let's say that the only one that I find having some appeal is Pence. Now, there are things about Pence that I don't agree with. To me, I'm an intellectual. I'm more intellectual conservative, which means that on the social issues, I don't agree with Pence. You know, 99% of them. But economically, his whole attitude about the political correctness gone crazy. I'm almost 100% with him on that. Yeah, you know, I like Trump and his quirkiness. Just sometimes he needs to act like he's 73 years old, not 73 months old.
And what's your feeling on the other side?
Harris is highly intelligent. She has a nice laugh. She dresses well, and she presents herself well. And that's important. I don't trivialize that at all. How you present yourself is important. Trump presents himself very poorly, and that's the problem. And Obama presented himself very well. And I do see that. I do see that as important. Biden, he's really starting to look like Carter. What do you think about that, Glenn?
It looks like what?
Carter, nice guy. Like your friendly uncle or grandpa, but goofy, and really worried about the economy. Economy is doing pretty well right now, despite all these problems.
Well, I think the people that like Biden are the people that want a real change to get back to humanity, honesty, and tradition.
Are you worried about the economy? Do you see a Carter issue?
I'm not worried a bit about the economy. My 401k is down, so I don't know what, if you're rich, maybe you have those real rich guys that know how to make your 401k go up, but mine's down, so I don't know.
Yeah, do you see any parallels between Biden and Carter? You know, not nice guy, like your friendly grandpa, but...
What's wrong with your friendly grandpa? I like my grandpa.
look at Donald Trump. It's like he's just out there. And even his supporters say that. But, you know, I'm a quirky person, and that's my most attractive quality. So do you like Donald Trump's quirks? Because I'm not president. I'm allowed to be quirky. But when you're president, you should conduct yourself in a professional manner. And certainly between Biden and Trump, Biden wins that contest. I would say, I mean, of all of them, Harris probably does, and because she's younger and she's very smart and presents herself so well, she's the candidate. Biden's not going to last 8 years, and if he even lasts four, but Harris will be around for a while.
She's
a rising star. I mean, she's kind of like the next generation of AOC, although she's not as liberal as AOC, certainly.
I'm very proud of the fact that in November, right after I lost my election, I was looking for some sanity and looking for some relief, and I predicted Biden and Harris, and at that time, neither one of them were at the top of anybody's Democratic list, and they're still there.
Harris was the obvious choice. I don't understand why he waited that long, and I thought maybe when Buttigieg dropped out, they'd make an agreement to have him be the VP. But then he said it had to be a female, then it had to be a non-white female.
I thought he made a white choice that way.
But should he shouldn't he just make his own decision instead of bowing to pressure? That's an issue with him.
You don't think that was his own decision? I do.
The final decision, but not the choices, because he said okay. Oh, and I'd love to see a woman as president, but it will be the woman that I like. I'm not sure if you heard the story, Glenn, because this might be interesting. You, of course, heard of the late, great Dr. Joyce Brothers. I think Scott knows this story. And you've heard of her, of course.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
You've heard of the late and great Dr. Joyce Brothers, of course, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay, you know, common game show contestant, and she really broke so many bounds for females in that category. So, yeah, I'm obviously calling her late and great a big fan. She spoke at my college. And this was, I'm sure you'd heard the story, Scott, but it doesn't repeat it because it's kind of interesting. especially with me and Glenn being about a generation apart in age, it's even better.
Two generations apart.
Crazy as it sounds, generation apart. Crazy as that is. But anyway, she spoke at my college. It was during the Gary Hart and Walter Mondale primaries.
Yep.
Again, you know, of course, Reagan. And so, you know, me, a curious type, I asked her, Dr. Brothers, when do you think we'll have a female president or vice president? And she said, well, you know, it'd be great to have one. Obviously, she, if anybody speaks for females being fabulous, I'm not sure anybody else could. So she said, in our children's lifetime, not in our lifetime. And that became interesting because, for two reasons. Then after I asked that question, Glenn, someone asked her, what do you think about Gary Hart? Thinking, okay, there's a political question, we'll ask you that. But not every question has to be about sex or about being on Match Game or something. And then she said, I don't want to answer a political question. And that was interesting. I don't want to sound like I'm patting myself on the back, but I didn't ask a political question. I asked a question about human beings. I didn't say, you know, what woman, conservative role or whatever, black or white. I just said a female, which I thought was kind of interesting. And it also meant that she wasn't going to, over looking at whether it was an R or a D or black or white or young or old. So when we have a female, all the presidents at that time were OWGs, old white guys. Some weren't that old. I mean, Kennedy and Roosevelt, but most were in late middle age or older. So then what was interesting, obviously, was Mondale won. He picked a female, and I love Ferraro. I put her in the late grade category also. And I was afraid, you know, Dr. Joyce Brothers, she's a genius. If she doesn't think we're going to have a female president or vice president in our lifetime, they're probably not going to win. And, of course, you know what happened. And so it's like every time there's been a female, Palin and now Harris and, of course, Hillary, I think of Dr. Joyce Brothers there in heaven, giggling a little bit and saying, Adam's going to be around a while. I know she's passed, but Adam and the people sitting in the audience there are going to be around a while, and that's really going to affect whether this person wins.
Well, she might become president by death. You know, I mean, if the
that's the issue, which also means, well, then if Trump wins, we're not breaking that streak. And I kind of rewind that, and of course, and say, what if someone would have asked, well, will we have a black president? And what would have been the answer then?
Yeah, that would have been a good question.
I believe even Hardy's included, who had a small amount of African ancestry. But I wouldn't call them black until they identify. I mean, Obama's mixed, but he's considered to be black. And I wonder if somebody would have asked that. And that would have been kind of interesting also.
Sure would have.
And Carl Harris also mixed. And so you kind of get both of those. So I don't know if you believe that, Glenn, but Dr. Joyce Brothers, those people, they just know it all. And I just really see that as, I don't know what the barrier is, because I thought for sure Hillary was going to win. I couldn't imagine Donald Trump being president. I mean, he's a reality show host and a businessman. I mean, and with no political experience, how would he win? And I just really saw that as something was going on. And now it's 2020. It's the year of the Twilight Zone, and who knows what's going to happen. I mean, the way things are this year, Glenn, somebody could write in a candidate, and that candidate could win. I mean, you have to agree, this is a year of the craziness, so who even knows?
Well, it's going to be interesting. Thank you, Adam.
No problem, and thanks for listening to my long story, but hopefully your listeners and my listeners.
No problem.
Good story.
No problem at all.
Have a good day, guys.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We're coming up on the break here in 5 seconds. We'll be back in exactly 1 minute. Don't go anywhere. Ted, you are really a pioneer. You were the first viral video in 2011.
Yes, that is true. But I have a problem since then. I was hoping you can help me with that, Scott.
What's that?
Well, I can't seem to find the right antibiotic to get rid of this viral video.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
And here we are, co-host back together here, and I want to thank Adam Lepp for calling in from Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp every Monday on the station from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. and replays Tuesday and Thursday from 2:10 to 3. He's also our webmaster on the webpage. All right, anything, any comments or questions in regard to what Adam had to say there? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Or any other thing you would like to say, any other little old thing you'd like to talk about this morning, we'll be glad to talk about here. 740-383-9944. And the only thing, I might as well have went home during that 15-minute period. I don't even know why I was here.
Well, he was talking to me. He wasn't talking to you.
I don't need to be here for that. But I interviewed Joyce Brothers. So there you go.
That was kind of an interesting little story, though, that she said not in her lifetime, I think. He said in our lifetime, maybe.
I wonder if she was talking about her lifetime or the student's lifetime.
Yeah, if she was talking about the students, that would have been a lot longer than hers.
Because I don't think she should have considered herself in a college setting because she was pretty old at that point.
I always liked listening to her. I don't know why, but I did like listening to her.
She was I interviewed her twice. One time I interviewed her, I think, on her career, and then one time I interviewed her on suicide. Ooh, when there was a rash of suicides. And
she after your show?
Yeah, that's right. That happens from time to time. But she was a nice woman.
Yeah.
Very nice woman.
Seems like it.
Easy to deal with. She had an office where she was still practicing. And so
she's nice. A lot like you, kind of vanilla.
Was she kind of vanilla?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, I don't think that I think commentators should give their opinions. I don't think other people should.
That was the word I was looking for last week.
Commentator?
I'm not a news person. I'm a commentator.
Well, sure not.
No. I used to be. And when I was a news person, it was nothing but facts. And I could back them up with two people.
I'll tell you, the funny thing was, I remember, because some people have done this. I guess maybe I am a little hard to track when it comes to political affiliation. But a lot of people have looked up my party affiliation. And to be honest with you, I did that probably when I was 17 because I was just about to turn 18 and you had to register to vote, and I voted in every election. But I'm never going to tell anybody who I voted for, but in presidential elections, as I said back in 2016, 50% of the elections I had voted in up until that point was just a weird thing. 50% of the time for president, I had voted Republican, and 50% of the time I had voted Democrat. So that last election broke it one way or the other. So, I guess for anybody who believes it sways one way or another with me, I don't think it really does. Because I had not done that consciously. It just turned out that way.
Okay. I'm good with that. I have voted for lots of Republicans, even though I am registered as a Democrat. But I must say I'm not voting for any this year. But that's because of where we are as far as our president and the Republican Party not speaking up about his. It's up to 19,700 and some lies. I just saw that.
See, this, I think that's not news, Glenn.
No, I'm not saying it's news. That's commentary.
But why do we report that?
I'm not reporting it. I'm getting it as commentary.
Somebody is.
Well, it's the, what is it, the Washington Post.
Well, stop that.
I'm not going to stop it.
No, they should stop that.
Why?
That should not be in a real newspaper.
It is news. When any chief executive lies to the public, that's news, period. By the way, I looked up the definition of news, and
anything of that which is out of the ordinary is the main definition.
No, it doesn't have to be.
Oh, no, I mean, no.
I'll bring the definition in that I found, so I don't have it with me. But
no, here's why that's not news. Do people lie? Of course they do. Have other politicians lied? Of course they have. But when you keep a running tab of lies, what you're doing is, that is not a news piece.
Of course it is.
No, it's not.
No president has ever told over 19,000 lies.
Let me know when you're done.
I'm done.
Wave a flag, and then I'll come in on this one.
No, I had to get that in because I don't want you stomping on that because that is news.
Okay, first of all, what counts as a lie? Are we talking about policy? Are we talking about speeches? Are we talking about stupid, flimsy things that don't mean anything?
Anything that's untrue.
Okay. Whoever else in the history of the world have we followed around to count every lie that they've told?
Well, actually, they didn't count them for a long time. And then they had to, apparently, this gentleman that keeps track of them decided, holy crap, this guy is lying all the time. Okay, so he went back and he started counting. And that was back when his first count was like 7,000 lies.
Here's the problem. If it was a big story, that's fine. But here's the thing about that. When you're keeping a running total, that's showbiz.
Oh yeah,
that's no longer news.
But it's still a fact. I mean, it still is news because it shows that it hasn't slowed him down. That people know he's lying.
Okay, that's a story.
Yeah.
But when you keep reporting the changes in the numbers and how big it's getting and that sort of thing, I don't think that's news.
I don't think they actually report it that way. It's now it's just kind of a running total. But
that's the problem.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But I think to deny that 19,700 and some lies told by our president is news, I think you better get that bag off your head.
No, but where does it end? I mean,
his presidency ends. Because he lies all the time.
So what's the number?
It was 19,700 and something.
Okay, so what? When it goes up one more, do they report that?
No.
Okay, that's the problem, because it's not...
Why would you want to go up every time he lies? You'd have to do it 5-10 times a day.
Because it seems like they report it constantly.
Oh, only if... I didn't even know where we were until I happened to come across this the other day.
I just think that... again, that... If you were reporting what the lie was, if you were reporting what the truth was, just to say that somebody lies all the time, that's not a story. That's an opinion.
No, it's not.
It is, because...
If they have the facts to back it and they claim they do.
But then do that. Because report that.
How do you respond to 19,700 lies, each one of them?
I'll tell you why.
I'll
tell you why this becomes a problem. Because we know for sure that Richard Nixon lied. Mm-hmm. We know for sure that Lyndon Johnson lied.
Mm-hmm.
We know for sure that John Kennedy lied. Mm-hmm. We know for sure that Bill Clinton lied.
Mm-hmm.
We know for sure that possibly Ronald Reagan lied.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We
Not
don't,
possibly. They've all lied.
Okay, but we don't say... we don't start counting their lies.
That's because they're not at 19,000 lies.
But how do we know? Did anybody ever follow? Did anybody ever look into it?
I would assume that if they got anywhere close to that, that would have been a huge...
news story would be, okay, here's a big story where we have the proof that you lied. Like Watergate. Like the Vietnam War.
And they have done that.
Okay, and that's fine. I'm okay with that. That's a news story.
But people disregard it and they say it's a hoax.
But just reporting the number of lies... I think that in and of itself is not a story.
It became a story because it was so outstanding and so breathtaking that any person could tell that many lies as President of the United States. That's
why it
became a story.
If they had done it once and been done with it, that's a story. But they don't do it once.
I think people asked for it again. Matter of fact, I almost guarantee you that he wouldn't have done it again had he not been asked to do it.
I just think that we're getting back into a sensationalist world here where we're trying to sell newspapers to people who
That's
don't.
Because it's sensational.
But it doesn't have to be.
Oh, of course it does. 19,000 lies. I haven't told that many lies in my lifetime.
But do we really know? How do we really know that for a fact?
Well, I'm not the man that checked them, and apparently have more than just one person checking them. But the way you know is you trust people that are honest journalists. And I think that's one of the most important things that we need to stand up for, is honest journalists. And I'm proud that I was a journalist for 3 years, because I was honest, and I wouldn't, and I had several situations where people wouldn't let me report the story because somebody who had money complained. And you know, if I had had the guts to do it, I would have gone ahead and reported the story.
Is there any opinion out there in the listening audience? Does anybody think, in and of itself, that the reporting of the number of lies that the president tells on an ongoing basis, I'm not saying every day, but this comes up a lot, to report that on an ongoing basis in and of itself, just that there is a number of lies that he has told, is that a news story? Is that a turnoff to anybody in the news business?
I will guarantee you get one of those five people that called 2 weeks ago, and they'll call in and say, yeah, that's not a news
story. Well, I think a lot of people... Well, I did not say it wasn't a news story. I said it wasn't news.
What's the difference?
A story, you can run anything. If it's in the paper, it's a news story. But we all have to look at it and go, is it news? I don't know.
If you don't know, then you should go with me, because I do know. It's news.
Yeah, but even you don't know if it's true or not.
Oh, of course I do. Because
you know the exact number is true.
I don't know, because I didn't count
it. That's
what
I'm saying.
I'm trusting good, honest journalists to tell the truth.
But a journalist should have...
I know, they're all hoax.
No, a journalist should have, okay, this is what the president said, this is what the truth of the matter is, this is why this is the truth.
And they have it documented.
Okay, well, fine. Print that.
It would take 15 years to print all that crap.
Well, take the most important.
Well, they do that. The Washington Post does that all the time.
And then you're okay.
Well, they do it.
But just to report the number in and of itself is what I'm
saying. They don't just report that. They usually report the number within a story where it's talking about a major lie.
Yeah, but is that supposed to be emphasis?
No, it's supposed to be, this is the truth, and this is what he does.
Yeah, but I really wonder why we're doing that, because I think that's why people get turned off.
You don't like to hear that Trump lies, or what? I mean, people that deny that he lies are not facing facts. I mean, he's shown that he's lied, because he'll say one thing one day and the next day say something.
Right, but I've ran down a lot of people who have lied. Nobody ever followed them around and said, this is how many lies you've told. And I don't remember the Bill Clinton scandal on Monica Lewinsky. I don't remember...
Oh, they followed him around to find out.
But I don't remember the news stories reading, and if you can find one, show it to me, where they said, okay, Bill Clinton lied because here he is on tape saying this about Monica Lewinsky, and here's how we know different, and he's told 597,000 lies. It doesn't say that. You're not implicating.
That's because he wasn't as big a liar as this guy is. He wasn't even close. He didn't even scratch the surface.
But how do we know? Has anybody ever kept a running total on anybody?
They do it when it becomes so outrageous that becomes news. And that's why it was a news story.
Okay, I'll give you an example of one thing I'm sure they've counted as a lie. And it is crowd size at the inauguration. That was embarrassing to me that was a story. Because here's the problem with that. Whatever the crowd size was, and whatever the president said, and whatever the truth of the matter was exactly, the fact that ran in newspapers, what is exactly the news value of somebody living in Germany of that story? How does that impact this country in any way?
Well, it absolutely showed visual evidence that the guy that was in charge was a blatant liar.
Okay.
And promoted his people to lie.
Yeah, but what is the story in that?
The story is he's the liar.
But people lie every day.
The story is he's the chief executive officer of the United States.
Our Marian residents know that flipping the bird was invented in 320 B.C. than in any other county in America?
Yes, but I didn't tell you the rest of the story.
What's that?
At 320 B.C. in 1 minute, the fat lip was invented.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is gonna help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
All right, we're back here on the air for the two-hour duration today with Glenn Coble and myself.
Now, this was supposed to be a fun one.
Well, it was, but we started on the note with Adam, and we went a little. I think we're just having, I don't know that there's a big disagreement here. I'm not saying, back to the original point here, like the inauguration story, I'm not saying that the truth was told about the crowd size. I'm not saying that at all.
You're saying it's not news. I'm saying it is news.
Right, but what I'm saying is I think that when you look at it objectively, because if I don't...
Oh, so I'm not looking at it objectively. That's what you're saying, but go ahead.
I didn't say that.
No, you didn't say that, but that's the implication.
I didn't say that. What I'm trying to say, Glenn, is I know that you have strong opinions about this election.
Yeah, okay. Because I have strong opinions about a lot of things.
Right, and that's great. That's America. That's where we are. But I would imagine somebody who supports the president would not...
Has his head in the dirt.
Okay, but see, that's where we get into trouble.
No, I shouldn't say that, because I have a lot of friends that I'm sure are going to vote for Mr. Trump, and I like them as people, and I'm sure they're smart people. They're just not listening to the facts.
Like I'll give you an example, and I'll go the other way on this one. Okay, I don't think when people report on Joe Biden's memory, I don't think that's news, but yet they do it. Because, again, I don't know what his memory
is. I think it would be huge news if there were any facts to back it up.
If there were.
Yeah.
But are there?
No.
No. So, but...
But there are facts to back up the size of that crowd.
But hold on. But they're still running the stories on his memory. They're still running, even without facts. They're still doing it.
Nobody on legitimate news does. Probably the only people that do are Fox News and their ilk.
Okay, but the stories are run, and people will believe it.
Oh, yeah.
And so the problem is, at some point, you have to look at all the news going on in the world. You know, great newsmen used to say this. You have 26 minutes in a day to report on what's going on. And you know what? Everything's not going to make it in. And that's why you have to decide what's a news story and what's not a news story. And all I'm saying is, I'm not saying that the crowd size was reported correctly. I'm not saying... All I'm saying is gasoline was poured on something. What... Just give me this. What impact did that story, whether it was 10,000 people there or 1 million people there, how did that impact this country at all?
It started the clear statement. It started the fact that our president was a liar and that he would force his people to lie. What was the news, the young man who was in charge of public relations or news back then? Oh, he's real famous because he had to say that. Anyway, he made him say that. And how could he not know just by looking at it that he was saying a lie? It's like listening to the lady who's in charge of that right now. It's just, it bothers me that, okay, if he wants to lie about all that stuff, he can lie as much as he wants, but he's making his people lie.
But here's what I'm saying about that is, clearly that was covered by every news network.
Because people cared.
No, I'm saying the inauguration.
Yeah.
The inauguration itself was covered by every news network. It was covered by every broadcast network. It was covered by every newspaper in the country. The pictures were online. The satellite pictures were there. Anybody who wanted to know how big that crowd was could look. Mm-hmm. It didn't have to be on the front page of the New York Times the next day that the president told a lie about the crowd size. If you watched it, you knew it wasn't the biggest crowd size in the history. It wasn't any... There was no investigation to that. There was no... You know, the Inquirer gets it right every so often. But is it news? Is that what should go on the New York Times or the front of the New York Post? I think at some point we've got to discuss... Now, if you're lying about going to war, if you're lying, I think the impeachment stories were correct. That's a big deal in this country to impeach a president.
But we've learned a way to hide that too. I mean, we argue with facts anymore, and we praise people for spilling. Well, I shouldn't go there because that's going to, well, never mind.
Let me ask you this. Do you think anybody who was a supporter of the president or not a supporter of the president believed that that was the biggest crowd size in the history of inaugurations?
I have no idea. I think there were people that did.
Okay. Do you think that was the majority of this country?
No, but apparently we don't care about the majority of this country. 3 million people voted to have Hillary Clinton over Trump, and we have.
Okay, but what Trump. What I'm saying about that is that you, just like people who say, and I've heard them say all the time, I'm voting for Trump, but I wish he would put the Twitter away. You know, they don't like that he does that. They get that that is sometimes not his best friend. And I think Election Day was a story of that. But I think what he does is he baits the news media. I think that's why during the primary with Hillary Clinton, they covered every one of his rallies bell to bell because people were watching and people wanted to see what he was going to say.
And that's why the Post put that information the next day after the inauguration on their front page because people wanted to find out.
But you think that President Trump really thought that that was the biggest crowd ever?
If he did, he's the fool that I assume he is.
Do you really believe that he thought that?
After listening to several psychiatrists, including his niece, yes, I believe he thought that.
I think he is
the narcissistic, whatever it's called, that would actually convince himself that that was true.
Oh, I don't think he thought it. I think he's very good.
Okay.
I think he's very good at baiting the news media. And I've seen it happen over, and they go for it every time. Every time he's not getting enough press, or every time he wants to cover up a big news story.
He changes the story.
Darn right. Do you remember?
That's why I don't want him as my president.
I want a president that
tells the truth,
but
not 19,000 lies.
But you know what Donald Trump did? Donald Trump gave an inauguration speech that a lot of people didn't like. And because...
I didn't listen.
Well, he gave one.
I know he did.
And because he got up and talked about crowd size, that was knocked off the front pages so quick because he didn't want it there. And this is what happens all the time. It's just like the State of the Union. You know, he gave a State of the Union speech, and you know what knocked off the State of the Union speech?
Did you listen to that?
Okay, yeah.
It was so boring that I fell asleep.
But do you remember what knocked it off the front page?
No.
Nancy Pelosi tearing up papers.
Oh, yeah, and I thought that was kind of foolish that they should show that and make it,
No, that was a news story. That was Washington Post the next day. That was New York Times. Nancy Pelosi color photo above the fold tearing up papers.
Yeah, that was showing her disgust of what he was saying.
But what it did was, did anybody who watched it did not see that she had disgust?
I don't know.
This is what I'm saying. I'm saying we take...
She was very polite till that moment.
Right, but what I'm saying is we take... Like people counting how many times she rolled her eyes. That's this, during this... People did that. It was on the Facebook the next day. And I don't understand...
It's kind of funny.
Okay, and you know what? And people who support Pelosi, people who support Trump, are going to either think that's the greatest thing in the world or the worst thing in the world. And that's why, to me, it's not news. It's a story...
But the way Trump has said everything, there are people that will say he's right and people that will say he's wrong. I think the news has done a very good job, with the exception of Fox and with the exception of a few other. They have done very good at pointing out wrong stuff.
Let me just ask you this, and this is the point where I am. Since this pandemic started and the news channels have something else to report on and the newspapers have something else to report on, how often have you seen a Nancy Pelosi tearing up papers? How often have
she
you
only
seen
did it once.
Right. Okay, but it made it. Front page.
Yeah, but she only did it once.
Okay, but it did. But I mean, how many times have you seen a story of that ilk, a trivial story? How many times have you seen an inaugural?
I don't think that was trivial at all. She was in the face of the chief executive of the United States tearing up papers, basically saying, this guy's a liar.
So what is not news then?
I think anything that is out of the ordinary can be part of the news. I'm not a good arbiter of the news. I've sat in on several sessions where our editor would say, well, what do you have, Coble? And I'll tell him what my story is. And they'll say, what do you have, Smith? And Smith will tell him. And then he will choose what gets said and what doesn't get said. There's a lot of filters you go through to do the news. One thing I do know that most newscasts do, they have at least two corroborating sources for their stories, and I guarantee you that that isn't necessarily so with some of our current
news. I just think sometimes we have to pick and choose because we only have so much space.
That's right.
And we do. And we end up booting stuff out that is important to people's lives.
It might be important to you, but not to somebody else.
I think that the way people vote on things, I think the way that policy is made, I think a lot of these stories, when the president gives a State of the Union address, whether you like it or you hate it, you know, half the people stand up, half the people sit down. You know, that to me is not the point of that speech.
I don't think that speech was any of those speeches are news.
Right, but I'm sure there are callers who would say it's the greatest speech ever given. And that's an opinion piece.
Okay.
But I just think that's opinion. It's like, do you remember when Obama wore the tan suit? That was a news story.
Yeah, that didn't last very long.
No, but it was ridiculous.
It was stupid. It showed the ignorance of...
But it was true.
Yeah.
It was true. He did wear a tan suit.
You know who started that bad stuff about him wearing the tan suit? It was on Fox News. And I think it was Laura Ingraham that said, how could he wear a tan suit or something like that?
I just think sometimes it gets lost, like the inauguration story, and I'm only bringing that because where we started here, is that nobody's saying that it's true. Nobody's saying that Donald Trump was telling the truth, that
there
was the biggest.
A lot of people that are saying
that. I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not saying that it was the biggest inauguration crowd ever. Clearly, it wasn't. But I'm saying the fact that CNN and MSNBC took 2 days and brought on analysts to analyze pictures of that is silly.
I'll tell you why they did. Because those on Fox News and the right-leaning media were saying it was true. And they were pointing it out that you're wrong.
But here's the thing. Does it, in the grand scheme of things, in the history of this world, is anybody ever going to look back on that and say, yeah, that was the biggest...
Oh, I'll tell you what. It's being looked back on day in and day out now. Because of his lying. Because of his penchant to not tell the truth.
But you don't think by Inauguration Day people had made up one way or another their feeling on his truth?
I would venture to say that right now, 50% of the people have already decided who they're going to vote for.
I think it's more than that.
Yeah, probably 80 or 90% have already decided who they're going to vote for. And there might be a small percentage that doesn't know, but I would say there are some people that just say, I'm not going to vote because I hate this, you know.
Well, I guess what I'm comparing it to is there was a biggest crowd ever. And I bet nobody can tell me who it is, but we certainly know who did not tell the truth. But yet, the facts of the matter is...
Do you know who the biggest crowd
ever
was?
No, I don't. And that's what I'm saying. But there was... Just by the facts of it all, there was. Right, but here's the thing, Glenn. Why don't we know that?
Well, because it was not important until the president bold-faced lied about it and forced his news person to go out and tell a lie. And what was his name? I wish I could remember. He took a picture out and showed it, and everybody could see that it was a lie, and he still went ahead and said.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Does a newspaper, does a news organization with only so much time to report the news have to report the obvious?
If the other side, and I'm using Fox News as the other side, if the other side's absolutely denies that it's not a lie, and
right,
they did.
But are the people who watched it on Fox News, are they going to change their mind, or are they going to say, well,
that's not the question, whether the people on Fox News are going to change their mind. The question is it a lie? Is our president a big, bold-faced liar?
I just feel like sometimes, and if people want to run things, if it sells newspapers, that's fine. But I'm thinking...
No, it's not.
It's not fine?
No.
Well, they're private industry. They can run whatever they want.
I know, but if you're a newsman and you are, you should never, and I was put in this situation more than once, you should never do it because of the money. The money is the biggest corrupter of America today.
I think that story was to sell newspapers. I think if you would have put the story up, if you would have put his speech text to text.
If he hadn't made such a big lie out of it, it wouldn't have been the news story.
We're going to break. We'll be back.
So I went up and bumped her, and sure enough, a turkey fell out.
is there any, I'm glad it does, but that the sign stands over there?
Oh, yeah. Well, some truck hit it the other day, and,
oh, gosh.
And it shook it up. It didn't come down, but I thought about taking a shotgun.